RJ, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, my agent needs me to get a raise if we're doing that.
We'll do the spot until about 1 o'clock in the morning. Before we get to all the props, I saw that you had a big spot on the Carolla show talking Oscars.
Yeah. You know, I mean, especially the media, you know, the Kevin and Beans, the Carollas, they love the odds around the Oscars. And I do, too, because it's so fascinating how often the favorites win and how, everyone's all anticipating who's going to win. But oftentimes, it's almost a foregone conclusion. This year, though, less big chalk than I can remember in 10-plus years of the Oscars.
Isn't there something really weird you have to play into your handicap as well with Bohemian Rhapsody because of the creepo allegations from the guy who made the movie? Is that going to have an effect? I mean, you would think it would have an effect on any chance to win the Best Picture, and does that screw over Rami Malek, who's like minus 200 to win Best Actor?
You know, that's interesting because on one hand, you could make the case that Malek suffered at the hands of the tyrannical director and stole that performance. So okay. I think there's two ways to look at that.
Yeah.
But, Steve, you make a great point. If you are betting more than just NFL, more than just the spread in American sports, the first question you have to ask yourself is, what is it that I'm handicapping? So if you do the MVP betting, for example, NFL season-long MVP, are you handicapping who had the best season? No. You're handicapping who people think had the best season.
Yep.
Right? So it's about you're handicapping voters, right? When it was Trump versus Clinton, it wasn't about who should be president. If you bet that way, you were doing it wrong. In your opinion, who should be president? Rather, who will the country collectively, considering the Electoral College, vote in president? So when it comes to the Oscars, I think it's not just what do you think is the best movie or the best performance. It's not just what will other people think vote as the best performance, but I think it's what will the other people vote as the best performance, understanding where Hollywood is on the political spectrum and how prevalent political thinking is today. And if you look at in the modern era today, however you want to say it, in the Trump era, because if you look at Roma, let's just use the best picture, and this will be the last thing on the Oscars, I'm guessing you'll want, is the idea that Roma and A Star Is Born, which I love, by the way.
If you
like movies at all, to me, if you haven't seen A Star Is Born, is one of those I'd say if you see one or two movies in the theater a year, I would put that right on the list. I love that.
Okay.
Is they were about, you know, right in the same ballpark a month or two, or let's say 2 months ago, to win Best Picture. But then you think about it, okay, well, Roma has a progressive message, and on the other hand, you've got an old-school 70s movie with the rock and roller that could have been in the Allman Brothers. Now, yeah, you've kind of, you know, you got Lady Gaga, you got woman empowerment, but along the spectrum of how progressive the movie is, not much at all. And, oh, by the way, A Star Is Born is moving back in the pack 10-1 or so now, whereas Rome is the clear favorite to be Best Picture. I think progressiveness matters. We saw last year with Two Billboards, though it was progressive in ways, it wasn't enough for those out there, and it suffered, it seems.
I'll give you a prop. I just came up with a prop. Over under 2.5 times RJ cried during A Star Is Born. Adam? Well, if Adam, well, hold on. I'll set a number for Adam. Over under 4.5 times Adam cried.
I thought you were going to say went to the concession stand.
No. He couldn't get up. He was a blubbering mess.
Did Adam like it?
Oh, my God. He went on and on and on about it. Well, what happened?
It was fantastic.
Set it up, because you weren't going to watch the movie. Someone brings you to the movie, and then all of a sudden, you're just an emotional mess.
Not brings me. It's Mark Seidel's fault. I'll call him out once more.
Right.
I was like, we had a day off. It was the first time I had been done with work, you know, at 5 o'clock in forever. We had an early show that day.
Right.
Usually I'm working until like midnight, 1 a.m. I'm like, you know what? I kind of want to go see a movie. I just want to go forget about things for a while.
Let me go
just
chill out and relax.
I wanted to go. I actually wanted to go see. My plan was to go see Black Klansman. It was already. It wasn't in the theater anymore.
Right.
So I was annoyed, and I was like, I just want to see something light. This is something funny. And Mark was like, No, you got to go see A Star Is Born. I was like, yeah, I heard it was really good. I don't know. I just. And he said, No, it's fantastic. Got to go see it. I'm like, all right, cool. He knew I wanted to go see something light. I go see it. What the hell? It was insane, but it was amazing in every way. But yes, I was in the theater way after everybody left, still crying, angry and sad. It was ridiculous, but it was fantastic.
Wow. You know, Adam, that is a little plug. You know, I keep a log of every person perpetually judging them. I just gave you a little plus mentally.
Okay. I keep a log perpetually judging them.
Now, what I will say quickly about A Star Is Born.
That's awesome.
Is the idea that Bradley Cooper never directed, right? Lady Gaga never acted in any real way.
Whoa.
And the idea that both of them went and you know, I was talking to Adam Carolla about this, is the only way you ever do anything truly innovative is you've got to do it for the first time, right? And Adam made a movie, you know, he made a movie about boxing, then he made a movie about comedians on the road. Imagine a guy that, it's not a movie maker making a movie. Oh, the lighting, this, that. And that process is... It takes so much guts to do it, even if you're a nobody. And it's like, hey, if you do it, you might become successful, rich, whatever. But imagine being successful and rich anyway, where you never have to worry about money again in your life, like Lady Gaga or Bradley Cooper, and still being willing to challenge yourself like that. And I actually think, I don't know if you guys saw it, that mid-90s movie with Jonah Hill was very similar. He spent like 3 years on that one making it. Here's a guy that's a big actor, and he says, I'm going to grind it out even though I don't need to. I personally respect that.
Yeah. Also, the other part of handicapping here, I think Star Is Born is a victim of early hype. I think when it came out, everybody's like, oh, that's definitely winning.
Yeah, but I tell you, Adam, do a little study. The last 2 years, look at the early odds, you know, I don't know, December 15th or something, and then look at the closing odds. And then go and grade every movie on its progressiveness, 1 to 10, you're going to see a strong correlation that it seems like the progressiveness is driving. And again, this is Hollywood. They get to vote on what they want to vote on, but it feels like it's driving more than just the quality of the movies.
And I'll give you an example.
Yeah. We can forget about is there a political message in it or not, but in my opinion, American Sniper was one of the, you know, 10 most powerful movie-going experiences in the theater of the last 5 years. I mean, I went 3 times. It was just such a movie. And to me, the idea that Clint Eastwood gets so much less critical embrace than he did pre-2012 when he went up and did that deal with the Republican convention with the chair. Now, hey, you can be critical. It wasn't a great skit necessarily. But it does. I just think art should be pure. And I know that might sound naive, but boy, I don't care who it is. If they make great art, I can appreciate that. And hey, if they murder someone, then I also can think they should go to jail for that.
RJ Bell's with us. We're a little short on time now. We got about 2 minutes left. Just a general rule of thumb that you get from your sharps when they start to attack these, you know, hundreds and hundreds of props.
All right, one, unders, not overs, especially if it's yardage points. Any player prop, some pros are like 90-10 under, others are 70-30 under. But if you're betting more than 30% overs, you're betting unlike a pro. Doesn't mean you won't win that day, but it means you won't win long-term, chances are. Number two, if you bet as early as possible, you're betting against the odds maker. If you bet later, you're betting against the market. And the market is much... It's imagine 20 Fezziks. Now, there is no Fezzik, but 1 Fezzik and 20 others that are almost like Fezzik, all buzzing around, picking off every little edge. Like, oh, that line's off by a half a point. Give me the under. That's what you're going to get come game day. So if you want to get involved early, because let's give some credit now. I'm hard on bookies. But the bookies that do world openers on these props, whatever it is, South Point did some. I think MGM did some. We know Westgate did a lot. Give them credit, right? Give them credit for that. Right, 300 out of 300 times. Just think, if they're right 90%, that means there's 30 bad numbers out there. Here's the question, though. How long are those bad numbers going to last? And, Steve, if we have one more minute, I've got one strong closing point.
Do it.
I very rarely am like, pound my fist. I'm going to pound my fist. If you like the Patriots, if, you got to bet them now. The reason being, it could stay where it is, so it doesn't matter. Could go up to 3, could go down to 2. Well, that sounds like, hey, just roll the dice. Except, as the hedge fund guys call it, it's asymmetric risk. Your downside, if you like the Pats, of it going up to 3 is gigantic, because 3 is the most key number in the NFL. If it goes to 2, oh, I bet early I could have gained that half point. It means very little. Flip it. If you like the Rams, you got to wait, because it's the same thing. Oh, yeah, maybe you lose 2.5 to 2. Who cares? But if it goes to 3, you just gain 5 times as much as you would lose going to 2. And last thing, don't wait for a close. Don't wait for a consensus. Don't think, oh, maybe there's a 3.5. No, no. If you can get a 3 minus 100 and 10, minus 110, grab it. Because they flashed. They flashed at the South Point this week. So if you see a 3 and you like the Rams now, right? I'm not sure who I like yet, but if you like, and I lean Patriots right now, but if you like the Rams and you see a 3, grab it. That is unequivocally the professional way to do this.
RJ, you're the man. We'll talk to you.
How am I the man if you're the man?